You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 12th of August, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming live today at radioalbion.com because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. Matt, good day, sir. How are you doing?
Well, I think there's someone out there who doesn't want us to talk. This time it's actually not Stanley's fault, but this has happened many times before.
It is. It's my fault. I must apologize. We are late, but better late than never. And we are here now, and we will have a full program for you. But of course, it does mean that we'll be going on into the next program on the stream. But I know we've got plenty of listeners out there that want to hear what we have to say today. And we're going to be talking about the hidden risks of COVID containment gene therapy today. We're going to be talking about the so-called vaccines. We're going to be looking at statistics, and we're going to be asking why it is that we're not being told the full truth about this. According to the most recent statistics released by the CDC this past Friday, their vaccine adverse event reporting system, the VAERS system, has now recorded twice as many deaths following the non-FDA approved experimental COVID-19 shots during the past 8 months than deaths recorded following all FDA approved vaccines for the past 30 years. In spite of this, US government CDC verified facts regarding the experimental COVID-19 shots. Not only are they continuing to administer them, but the big push now is to mandate them as a requirement for employment in both government and private sector jobs. Israel is now planning to roll out a third injection of the Pfizer shots to those who have already been injected twice and survived, targeting seniors first, and we can certainly expect the same rollout soon to take place in the US as well. The July 30th data dump into VAERS, which everyone acknowledges is not the full data of deaths and injuries following COVID-19 shots, reveals 11,940 deaths and 618,648 injuries among 518,770 cases, including 12,808 permanent disabilities, 65,272 emergency room visits, 40,873 hospitalizations, and 11,198 life-threatening injuries. There are also 1,175 premature deaths of unborn children following COVID-19 injections of pregnant women. This has to be the most censored information in the United States right now, even though it is based on the government's own data and its own reporting system. This is scandalous that this isn't being talked about in the mainstream media. This is the government's own data here. And over here in Britain, they're really pushing everybody to get vaccinated. And okay, if you want to push people to get vaccinated, at least tell them the truth. Tell them the downside of this. Give people tell people what the risks are so that they can actually make an informed decision. But instead, of course, they're just making out that people that are anti-vax, they're just crazy conspiracy theorists. Well, these are the government's own figures, the American figures. I know that it's a similar situation over here in Britain. Matt, what are your thoughts on all of this and all these injuries and deaths that are supposedly to do with the vaccine?
Well, this is something that even I wasn't able to predict. The mass censorship, the name calling. I mean, that's been going on in issues like race for a long time. But something like this, and when drug companies farm out their responsibility to Congress, you know that there's something very wrong. A couple of friends of ours put out a list of the headlines of just in the last few weeks of the major newspapers saying completely contradictory things. that this Delta variant will not be affected by the vaccine. It might. It will. Vaccines will make you less likely to get any serious illness. And then they don't do anything in some cases because you need to wear double masks, that vaccinated people can be infectious. It only works if everyone takes them. Then, of course, the name calling. A new variant is always around the corner that's going to kill a huge number of people, which is something actually we predicted on this show, that they would use some menacing Greek name to talk about variants. It's always going to be more deadly. It's always going to be more infectious, never better. And you have MSN saying that we will blame the unvaccinated, and CNN too, that this is now a social element of persecution. And on top of all that, you have Paul Craig Roberts talking about the so-called green zone, where you have actually a camp system in place where those who are most likely to get the illness will be put in, you know, sections of the country there. They can't see anybody. They can't meet anybody. And so that's just the beginning. We've been talking about this for a year now, but now right on time, all this stuff is coming out. The news media has no particular expertise in any of this. They simply repeat what they're told. But if you just read newspapers and follow the news media, you will hear every idea in this crazy, this is word salad of contradictory ideas, almost in the same news broadcast. So it creates this confusion. So they end up saying we're just going to follow our social betters and put pictures of ourselves getting this vaccine, despite the mounting number of deaths that no one's allowed to talk about.
Well, also, once you are vaccinated, you're still at risk of getting the virus. I mean, in Iceland, 90% of Iceland is vaccinated, and they're now talking about having to go into a second lockdown. I mean, it appears what happens is when you have the vaccine, it may prevent the virus from really taking hold in your lungs, but it doesn't really do very much in the airways and in the nasal cavity. So people can still catch COVID and they will still have COVID in the nasal cavity, which means that they can still spread it. They're less likely to actually end up in hospital, but they will still actually have COVID. So the people that are vaccinated are spreading it just as much as the people that are unvaccinated. And if you do get the vaccine, you're running this risk of these side effects. Well, let's have a look at what the CDC's response is here. When confronted with these statistics, the CDC's response is that these reports do not prove causation. They would have everyone believe that all of these deaths and injuries following the COVID-19 injections are just coincidences. They are correct in that reports of adverse events to vias following vaccination, including deaths, do not necessarily mean that a vaccine caused a health problem, and a review of available clinical information, including death certificates, autopsy, and medical records, has not established a causal link to the COVID-19 vaccines. However, if you search for deaths following all FDA-approved vaccines for the past 30 years, prior to the emergency use authorization of the COVID-19 shots, you will see that there are now about twice as many deaths following the COVID-19 shots compared to deaths following all vaccines for the past 30 years. The COVID-19 injections were first given emergency use authorization in early December of 2020. So the recorded deaths following these shots as of July 23rd, 2021 is 11,940 in less than 8 months. But let's round it off to 8 months, which would equate to an average of 1,492 deaths per month. From 1st of January 91 through till the 30th of November 2020, there were 6,068 deaths in 359 months, which equates to an average of 17 deaths per month following FDA-approved vaccines. That's an 8,676% increase in recorded deaths following the COVID-19 shots compared to deaths following all previous FDA-approved vaccines. So they can say, well, we haven't properly investigated this. You can't prove that there is a link here. But if you actually look at all these other deaths, I mean, they say the same about all these deaths after these other vaccines, but it's extremely suspicious that we are seeing all these people dying after the vaccine. And so far, all the figures we've been given for COVID-19, it's been dying of any reason within 28 days of testing positive for COVID. So how about having a dying within 28 days after having a vaccine? Why don't we have their figures for that. It seems they want to do that for the COVID figures and bump the COVID figures up. But when we do something similar for the vaccines, they say, well, there's no causal link there. We can't say that it's definitely down to the vaccine. What do you make of these figures, Matt?
Well, actually, that was the first thing that came to my mind. This is what happens when you're special pleading a case. They would have went orbital if you would have made this exact argument, you know, a year ago concerning COVID. So they completely moved the goalposts and changed the terminology. But you have the latest lie is that those who are not vaccinated are more than twice as likely to be reinfected. Well aware that there's no evidence for this. Those who have had it and recover are immune. And of course, worse than all that is the COVID test, which now finally is being abandoned by both the CDC and the WHO. The test that was run, the cycles were so high that it produced all these false positives. And they used it to exaggerate the threat. Not to mention, most of us have the antigens in our system from something or other, that's enough. So actual COVID cases are relatively small compared to the main number. And of course, the deaths solely based on COVID are minimal. And we've cited a number of medical professionals on this show who've done autopsies. We'll talk about this guy in a minute, that show that without comorbidities, without having something else wrong with you, COVID is not really a deadly illness unless you're very elderly. There has to be something else wrong with you. You know, flu cases were counted as COVID cases. Not to mention the fact that hospitals, they had these financial incentives to claim that all of these deaths were COVID deaths. I mean, even had lack of treatment. You know, the lies piled up. One of my favorite examples was in Montevideo, in Uruguay. They had this a year ago, an article saying that they're running out of coffins. And I had a picture of bodies piled up somewhere. And we're supposed to get all panicked over this. This is a major metropolitan area. In the last few paragraphs, they finally said the number of deaths so far is 175. They shut down India, the entire country of India, after 10 deaths. I reported that when it first happened. Kazakhstan had zero, and they shut the thing down. But right now, media censorship is keeping a lot of this out, and you have doctors, very well-qualified doctors, being shut out. You know, it's like getting a second opinion, not being allowed to get a second opinion. There's one opinion, and that's it. And that's how, you know, science has always been politicized. But this is taking it to the next level. And what results, of course, is sheer confusion.
Well, hopefully we can put a stop to some of that confusion here with these statistics that come from the government themselves. Well, it also looks like these vaccines haven't been properly tested. The majority of vaccines currently administered in the US were, in fact, never tested against a valid placebo group. Why the CDC and the FDA do not require this of vaccine makers remains a weird mystery. It is not just bad regulatory policy, it is terrible science. When a trial placebo recipient has a positive outcome that is similar to, or in some cases identical, to having taken the actual drug or vaccine, there is no way to quantifiably measure the non-pharmacological mechanism that brought about the result. So they're saying that they don't know what this mechanism is that causes people that think they've taken the vaccine to actually have the effect that the vaccine is supposed to have. I mean, what do you make of the placebo effect, Matt?
Well, it is this weird anomaly in their testing system. The idea of a nocebo is the opposite, where you have this negative expectation, and then a negative expectation happens whether you get the drug or not. But even with all this, you know, you have people being injected prior to entering this study. The control group was intentionally compromised. And because they rule out any other possibility that someone can get better by some other method, it's automatically the deck is stacked against them, no matter what. And you don't have journalists who know about this stuff. And you know, the placebo effect is not being talked about to any great extent. So the point is, we have no idea the level of effectiveness here. We have no clue. So the 95% effective rate is based on the data after comparing the placebo group. But it could be much lower because you also have the placebo effect among vaccine recipients. So that's why the whole thing doesn't make any difference. You have the same effect people who get it or don't get it. So that's why the placebo control group doesn't make any sense. That could exist in both groups, people getting it and people not getting it, having the same point of view and therefore the same reaction. In other words, we have no idea how effective these are according to the FDA's tests.
We also got the fact that the placebo group were then all given the vaccination afterwards. So we've got no way to actually follow up on the placebo group to find out what the effects were of not taking the vaccine, because they've all been given the vaccine. So that corrupts the entire trial as well. Well, this led Dr. Ted Kaputchik at Harvard-affiliated Beth Deaconess Medical Center to postulate that many positive results of clinical trial participants receiving the actual drug may also display a placebo effect. The same is equally true for vaccine trials. In other words, although we are told that the Pfizer and Moderna COVID vaccines are approximately 95% effective, based upon the data after comparing vaccine and placebo groups, the actual effectiveness may be much lower due to placebo effects among vaccine recipients. On the other hand, a nocebo may account for the remaining estimated 5% of vaccine recipients. In either case, scientists have no means at their disposal to determine whether antibody immunity is induced by mind-body activity or by the vaccine in any given individual. The absurd irony is that if one were to ask a random sampling of 1,000 federal health officials and scientists, physicians and clinicians, drug company executives and university medical school professors to explain the actual mind-body mechanisms contributing to the placebo effect, there would be 1,000 different answers or a chorus of shrugged shoulders. How scientific is it that for almost every human clinical trial required to bring a pharmaceutical drug and vaccine to market, modern medicine relies on a principle that it has yet to understand? Consequently, vaccine-friendly data that makes news headlines is largely based upon institutionalized bias. Skeptic medical materialism's hypocrisy is further compounded when the placebo effect is used in a disparaging context to discredit natural, non-conventional medical therapies. To jump to such conclusions, medicine has had to rely heavily upon metaphysical realism as its starting point. This is where modern medicine departs from being a true science and enters a make-believe world where we find its evidence standing on shaky ground. And that's interesting, isn't it? The contrast there, because that is what they will say about natural medicine. They'll say, oh, well, that's just a placebo effect. But how much of the vaccine control group is just a placebo effect because they believed that the vaccine was going to work or that the drug was going to work? I mean, it's really pointless the way that they do these tests. So, I mean, even if they did still have that group there that they kept going and they hadn't given the vaccine to, it still wouldn't have shown anything because they would have had this placebo effect anyway. What do you make of what they're saying here, Matt?
Well, it's not just the doctor's training is based on the idea that this stuff is going to work. Everything is a chemical reaction and pharmaceuticals are going to solve the problem. But don't forget, there's also an extra layer of fear that if these guys start questioning this as professionals, they're going to lose their jobs. They're going to be, we've seen what happened, even when big name, we'll talk about that in a minute, big name scientists were being ripped apart in the press for showing even a mild skepticism about the drug. So there's an extra layer of fear here that even if they believe that there's a problem, they're going to be very loath to talk about it. But yeah, this is why, I mean, you know, a decade at least is usually what it takes to get vaccine approval. We said on this show 3 or 4 times that this is going to be rushed through. Profit and power are going to be a huge part of the motivation. There's no way this can be tested in a few months. Skipping animal testing, all of that. When you rush something through, you're cutting corners, and none of this should be surprising. But, you know, I mean, the immune system is extremely complicated. Not to mention between individuals, it's all over the place. It's a delicate balance. But if you're compromised in the first place, you could, you know, get sick from anything. Or an overactive immune system can cause all kinds of autoimmune diseases. Because of this, it's really hard to standardize these tests. everyone, the immune system is extremely difficult to comprehend and what's going to cause what reaction. And especially when you ram it through in a couple of months, these guys have no idea if this is safe or not. Not to mention the fact that the long-term effects, there's no way to know what these are. So when you hear that the vaccine is safe, even if these things weren't true, they have no idea what's going to happen a year from now, 2 years from now. There's been plenty of problems with vaccines at that late date. It takes a while for this stuff to build up in the system. So this is just, you know, and trying to reduce the immune system to a simple mechanism, which all this stuff does, shows you that the FDA is simply a drug company organization that gives this public sector stamp of approval on what they want in the first place. We talked about this, all the revolving door of corporate people working in the regulatory agencies and vice versa. Doctors, I've known very few doctors that trusted the FDA. It is a private sector organization in essence. And but this has destroyed, for people who know, this has destroyed its credibility. When you are cutting corners, just pushing this stuff through to the point where, you know, I'm surprised there aren't more deaths. But of course, the statistics that we're talking about here, a few doctors have said that the reporting system records maybe 10% of the actual deaths and adverse effects. So whatever numbers we have here, it's safe to, you know, even as high as 10 times maybe or more this number. And I mean, I don't know anyone who doesn't know someone who suffered from this vaccine. I know several people. So and the fact that they're demanding that this be imposed, not the military, federal employees and private sector employees, the fact that they're demanding this shows that there's really something wrong here.
Well, the more they push people to take it, the more suspicious I am of their reasons for wanting people to take it. A recent anomaly during the current COVID-19 vaccine trials last autumn violates conventional standards. The placebo control groups were not carried through to their full conclusion. Contrary to common sense and clinical trial protocols, placebo participants were vaccinated long before the trials were completed. In effect, the vaccine companies wiped out any potential clinical trace to properly observe and evaluate the long-term adverse vaccine effects. In addition, the vaccines are being administered indiscriminately, aside from very small selected populations. Physicians and immunological experts now admonishing Fauci and government and institutional mandates are raising legitimate medical concerns that vaccinating individuals who had already contracted the virus could put these persons' health and lives at risk. And this is what we've always been told before, is if you've already had the disease, then you shouldn't be vaccinated against it because that could cause serious problems. But of course, that's with traditional vaccines. This is gene therapy, basically. It's manipulating your mRNA to tell your DNA to produce a spike protein. Where is the spike protein going to be produced? Apparently, it's produced in your capillaries instead of being produced on the COVID-19 virus, which is where it's supposed to be. You've got it growing in all your blood vessels. And to put on top of this, you, instead of being able to actually say, well, we can measure the after effects of this vaccine against this group that didn't take the vaccine, the group that didn't take the vaccine has now all taken the vaccine. So you've got nobody that you can actually measure the after effects with. There is no way to actually tell what the long-term effects of this is, which is, of course, what people were worried about. They were saying, well, it's only 6 months old. How do you know what the long-term effects of it are? Well, they've completely ruined the chances of ever knowing what the long-term effects of it are now. What do you make of what they did with the placebo group, Matt?
Well, let me put it this way. Dr. Roger Hodgkinson, who is a former chairman of the Royal College of Physicians in Canada, he's been a medical director at Western Medical Assessments for decades out of Cambridge. He says this. He says the bottom line is that there is utterly unfounded public hysteria driven by media and politicians. This is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the American public, on the unsuspecting public. There's nothing that can be done to contain this virus other than protecting older, more vulnerable people. It should be thought of as nothing more than a bad flu season. It's not Ebola. It's not SARS. It's politics playing medicine, a very dangerous game. So you have people of tremendous authority now being destroyed in the press. Experts in this field by the hundreds saying things like this that no one's ever heard of unless you go to the specialized websites. making these fairly extreme claims. You have a death rate of, what, 0.5% at most, and mostly with the elderly people with comorbidity. And so it makes sense they're going to come up with these Delta variants. I mean, the Delta variants will explain all the deaths from the injection. They could have come up with a new variant, and that's where the deaths from the injections go. Well, they weren't protected against that, or maybe they were, or maybe they have to wear masks anyway. It's absurd. But when you have major people like this, people who used to be supportive of the whole COVID narrative a year ago, talking like this. Now, this is why the censorship has to be so intense. Certainly he has more knowledge than Bill Gates ever did, or the journalists who were talking about this. So this is dangerous, and this is a tremendous hoax.
Well, we have some more information from another knowledgeable person here. The director of the Pathological Institute of the University of Heidelberg, Peter Schirmacher, has carried out over 40 autopsies on people who had died within 2 weeks of their vaccination. And Schirmacher has expressed alarm over his findings. The regional daily Augsburger Allgemeine reported, Schirmacher assumes that 30 to 40% of them died from the vaccination. In his opinion, the frequency of fatal consequences of vaccinations is underestimated, a politically explosive statement. In times when the vaccination campaign is losing momentum, the Delta variant is spreading rapidly, and restrictions on non-vaccinated people are being discussed. The Merkel administration quickly moved to respond to this politically explosive statement from Heidelberg. According to the German press agency, the Paul Ehrlich Institute announced that Schirmacher's statements were incomprehensible. The Chancellor's lackey, senior German immunologist Thomas Mertens, dismissed the findings right away. I don't know of any data that would allow a justifiable statement to be made here, and I am not assuming an unreported number. The immunologist, Christian Bogdan from the Erlangen University Hospital, a member of the Standing Vaccination Commission, also contradicted Schirmacher's assumption of a high number of unreported vaccination complications or even deaths. Well, how can they say this is incomprehensible? I mean, he is saying he has autopsied 40 people and 30 to 40 of them had died from the vaccination. So that's not incomprehensible, is it? That is proof there. This is a knowledgeable man who has done these autopsies, and he has shown that it was the vaccination that caused it. And yet they're still arguing against it and saying this is incomprehensible. What do you make of this predictable response from the German authorities, Matt?
Well, we've cited this guy before. I think it was July, last July 2020. He did thousands of autopsies on those allegedly dying of COVID, and he couldn't find a single case where they didn't have something else wrong with them. They had cancer, they had heart disease, and COVID was considered the sole cause of death. So he's been at this for a long time. Now he's doing the same thing for people getting the vaccine, and I guarantee you his numbers are low. Now, if you read these guys, Christian Bogdan, all these other people, they're not challenging his methods. They're not challenging his authority. As far as pathology is concerned, he's the top guy in Germany. You know, he's the Pathological Institute director. He's been there a long time. He is the standard there. So they're not challenging him. They're not talking about his numbers or methods. What's incomprehensible is how he can go against the grain like this, how he could take this data seriously. Everyone knows that that's not true. But when a guy like him, again, this is the second major expert, and there's thousands of them. I mean, on top of their field, and he's been at this for a very long time. He couldn't, to this day, he can't find a single person who died just of COVID. And by now, he's done thousands and thousands of autopsies. And so, now I don't know if he's being punished out there. He still has his job. But so these people aren't challenging his methods or his authority. They're simply challenging the idea that there's another narrative out there.
We are certainly seeing some very brave and courageous doctors and scientists that are coming forward that are saying, look, I'm coming out with a different result to my studies here. And even though they're then getting deplatformed, there was one the other day, and he was in the list of 12 COVID mistruth spreaders, I think it was, that Joe Biden said to the newspapers. And he ended up having to get rid of 30 years worth of his research that he had made available for everyone online. 30 years worth of research he had to just get rid of because he was getting death threats and he was being attacked after being labeled as this COVID disinformation spreader when he was a scientist and a doctor and a very well-respected one up until this COVID scare. Well, the pathologist in question, however, received support from within his own ranks, and the Federal Association of German Pathologists stated that more autopsies of vaccinated people who died within a certain time frame after vaccination should be performed. The head of the autopsy working group in this association wanted to make general practitioners and health authorities aware of this. In other words, doctors of the patients who die within a few days or weeks after vaccination should apply for an autopsy in case of doubt, or the health authorities should take action. The Federal Association of Pathologists had already requested this in March in a letter to Health Minister Jens Spahn from the CDU, but it went unanswered. Schumacher's warning could, of course, ruin a multi-digit long-term billion-dollar business for various pharmaceutical companies, while the already low willingness to get the jab in the remaining unvaccinated group could further decrease dramatically, and ultimately the entire pandemic strategy of the federal government could unravel. Schumacher himself is already leading an autopsy project on people who have died from COVID-19, which is subsidized by the state. He himself then expanded the focus and also autopsied more than 40 deceased vaccinated people. Even if his results are only a snapshot, it is a dramatic one. 30 to 40% died from the vaccination itself. The pathologist cited rare severe side effects of the vaccination, such as cerebral vein thrombosis or autoimmune diseases. And that's what we keep hearing about is strokes and thrombosis, and also people's immune systems that are fighting against the jab. They go into overdrive. So what he's really saying here is any doctors that have a patient that dies after the vaccination, the doctor should be requesting an autopsy. So, I mean, I don't know how many doctors and GPs we have that actually listen to us, but that's what they should be doing. If you have any patients that die after vaccination, call for an autopsy. If you have a relative that has died after vaccination, go to the doctor and get him to order an autopsy to look into this. 30 to 40% of them, according to this Schumacher, can be shown to have definitely died from the vaccination. What are your final thoughts on this, Matt?
Well, when we first started, I mentioned the green zone idea. And this is seriously being floated. There's a CDC paper on it. It's an internment camp. And the claim is, of course, these are for high-risk people. But they also say that those considered high-risk are those who aren't vaccinated. Therefore, this is essentially a camp for those who aren't vaccinated, and you can get out of it by getting the injection. So, and this is CDC. This is going to be official policy here. Now, how far along it is, I don't know. And this has been, bouncing around our circles for quite some time, but the CDC comes out in favor of it, even uses words like green zone. This is far more serious than anyone realized. It's far worse than I think we know. And it's not just profit that's at risk here. It's control and the whole reputation of this leftist liberal scientific establishment. That's why they're going to do anything to maintain their control over the society.
Well, as far as medicine and health goes, you have to do the research yourself. It's no good just trusting others. It's no good trusting the government or the doctors. You have to do your research yourself into this sort of thing just to keep yourself healthy. Well, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.